We'll read the whole chapter. John 9. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned, nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, "Is not this the one who used to sit and beg?" Others were saying, "This is he." Still others were saying, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the one." So they were saying to him, "How then were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and I received sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." Okay, let's continue reading. They brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also were asking him again how he received his sight, and he said to them, "He applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Therefore some of the Pharisees were saying, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others were saying, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews then did not believe it of him that he had been blind and had received sight, until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight and questioned them, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He then answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you?" They reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Well, here is an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us?" So they put him out. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." Those are the Pharisees who were with him, heard these things and said to him, "We're not blind too, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains." Amen. Thank you, God, for this morning. Just invite your presence here to speak to us and meet with us as we pray, as we hear the word, as we worship you through songs, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning. I'm sure many of you have heard this passage and read this passage before, and I have as well many times, but this time as I was reading it, I felt like the Holy Spirit was kind of leading me to, this time, put myself in the shoes of the blind man himself. I think oftentimes I read it, especially in the beginning, where the disciples ask Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? And I would just kind of see this as a, like an important lesson, you know, like Jesus is teaching them, no, it's not the sin of this man or his parents, but it's so that the glory of God, the work of God can be displayed. And I just kind of read it as a story, but this time I think the Holy Spirit was kind of highlighting, well, imagine what this blind man would have been feeling, right? If he is born in this time where kind of there is this wrong theology, right? Everybody around him, maybe from the day he is born, everybody around him is saying, hey, this is, you're a sinner, right? You've done something wrong. Like, look at you. You're born blind? Like, you must have done something terrible to have this happen to you. I know the disciples ask if it's the sin of the parents or if it's the sin of the man, but I think just kind of human nature, if we think there's an option or possibility that it is because of our sin that this has happened, I think we believe that, you know? We hold on to that and we go, man, I don't even know what it is. And imagine verse 34, the Pharisees, when they get very angry at him, they say, you were born entirely in sins. Right? So I think it's possible that this man had been told all his life, right, that you're a sinner. Because of your sin, because you screwed up, now you're suffering and you're blind and this kind of thing has happened to you. So I can just imagine this man walking around weighed down by not just the physical impairment, but also the weight of condemnation, right? Just this feeling of guilt and heaviness and shame that is accompanying his physical brokenness. So in this time, the theology, which was a wrong theology, but it taught that physical brokenness was connected to a spiritual brokenness. So if you had something wrong physically, something must be wrong spiritually. So something must be wrong, it's not just that he is blind, but that he is a sinner, that maybe perhaps God is punishing him. Maybe God had rejected him, right? You're a sinner, so God has rejected you. Maybe God doesn't love you. Maybe God's turned his, you know, back towards you. He's against you. He is, yeah, just all of that lie, all of that condemnation, and all of that weight bearing down upon him. So the burden for this blind man was heavier than simply a physical blindness. So when we go to verse 2, and the disciples ask him, well, Rabbi, was it this man's sin or his parents' sin that he would be born blind? Jesus doesn't really answer that. He says it's not him. He doesn't answer the cause, right? He doesn't say it's not the man's sin or the parents' sin. It is because of this. He doesn't say the cause of the incident. He just says the purpose of this is that the work of God may be displayed. And kind of what Jesus is saying is, hey, basically this is why I came into this world. You know, I came here to do the work of the Father. Right? As long as he says, I am the, what does he say? I'm going to go there. He says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He's saying, man, I'm here now, and why I came to this world is that I can do this kind of thing to set people free, to do the works of the Father. I am the light of the world. While I am here, I am the light of the world. It's a metaphor, right? He's saying, I'm going to help this guy see, right? He's blind, not just in physical blindness, but spiritual blindness as a result of the incorrect theology. And I'm here and I'm going to set this man free. I'm going to show him light. I am the light of the world. So Jesus is saying, this is why I came, to do this kind of thing, to do the works of my Father and to bring light to the blind. And then obviously, as we know, he heals him physically. But I think also in that physical healing, he breaks the spiritual torment, the guilt, the condemnation, and the feeling that he had been rejected by God. I think maybe this man kind of on the inside had this, maybe it was kind of, like Job, you know how he maybe inside he was like, man, I didn't, like all these people are telling me that it is because of my sin, but maybe he, on the inside he was like, but I don't think so. I don't know what I've done. I don't think it's because of my sin, but all these people are saying it because you can see he is kind of mad at the Pharisees. When the Pharisees come to him, he's like, you know, he's quite like adamant, and he's a little bit, I don't, not rebellious, but like, what's the word? He's like revolting. Is that the right word? It's a revolt against the lies of the Pharisees. He's saying, like, you're wrong. It wasn't because of my sin that I've been sick, I've been blind, and now this guy has set me free. And you've been teaching me a wrong thing this whole time. So maybe deep inside he had that, but he was kind of weighed down by this teaching. And so Jesus sets him free. And it's interesting because in John chapter 8, right before this chapter, there's a story of the woman caught in adultery. And Jesus says, hey, neither do I condemn you. So again, it's the religious leaders are trying to condemn her and punish her and just kind of push her down because of her sin. And with their condemnation, Jesus sets her free from that. In John chapter 10, the next chapter, Jesus explains that he is the good shepherd. He kind of contrasts himself against the Pharisees, who were kind of the religious leaders, but not really there to set people free, to give them life, but to just kind of burden them down even further. And Jesus says, I'm not like them. I am the good shepherd that really comes in to take care of the sheep. So this is what Jesus does. You know, this is the work of the Father, setting people free. And in the same way, he sets us free as well. I'm just reminded, as I was reading this, I was reminded of two other stories. One is found in Mark 5. You know the famous GIC verse, go home and tell your family. Whenever I have to do it in public, I freeze. Go home and, anyway, go home and tell your family, something like this. Go home and tell your family how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Mark 5:19. Pastor Ricky says yes. You know, that story is fascinating because Jesus gets on a boat and crosses over to the other side. And while he's crossing over to the other side, that's when the storm comes. And disciples are freaking out and Jesus calms the storm. And he goes there. And if you see that story, what does he do when he crosses over to the other side? There is the man demon possessed, and he's in chains, and he is, you know, he's got legion inside of him, and he's crazy. And then that's all he does. So he crosses over. There's like spiritual attack because the devil doesn't want him to go there, but he crosses over to the other side, and all he does on that other side is set this man free, and then he crosses back. So what I see is Jesus is seeking out this man, right? He is going out of his way to find this one person. Maybe he had a prophetic knowledge, you know, that man, this guy that needs to be set free. So he goes there and he sets him free and he comes back. But in, while doing that, he tells him to go home to your family and tell them. So maybe, I mean, he probably became a great evangelist, a man of God. And then I'm also reminded of the story we heard through Pastor Benjamin last year at the retreat of I think he had a friend whose father had a car accident, and he lost the ability to like move physically, and because of that, he was kind of depressed, right? He was depressed, he was in despair, he really couldn't do anything, and we find out later on that what had been happening was he was being tormented by demons. I don't know if you guys remember that story. So the father had been tormented by demons all the time, and that's one of the reasons why he was so in despair and so depressed. And then one night, he is being tormented, and he sees these things tormenting him, and he says, basically, he had a vision of Jesus walking into the room, right? And Jesus basically, I think it was something like Jesus kind of waved his hand or like nodded to the spirits to get out, like, get out. And then instantly the evil spirits left him, and Jesus says to him, from now on, none of this is going to bother you and you're going to follow me. And so, again, I think it's fascinating that Jesus would come out of his way to appear to this man who was physically unable to do anything. Pastor Benjamin goes on to say that he wasn't able to really serve God in any way. He couldn't become a leader at the church. He couldn't really become a missionary or do anything because he was so physically disabled. But he lived out the rest of his life in joy and in fellowship with the Father. And so Jesus comes and sets this man free. With this man too, if you go to verse 35, Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? So again, with this man, Jesus goes out of his way after he hears that he had been put out of the synagogue, finds him, goes to him and finds him and says, I am the Messiah. So basically he goes out of his way to kind of speak truth to him, to teach him, to minister to him. And he worships him, right? After that, he worships him. So I think for us this morning, it's just a meditation reflecting upon who Jesus is and what he has done in your life, you know? How Jesus found you when you were broken and when you were... I think most of us, you know, we didn't have a physical brokenness. We weren't weighed down with a physical disability, but many of us are weighed down by spiritual burden, right? Such as condemnation or feeling like we don't measure up. And even now, I think many of us kind of, maybe we won't say that we believe it, but we kind of live out of this kind of thinking and feeling that when we do something wrong, like that God is rejecting us. You know, when we do something wrong, when we have sinned, we didn't do our quiet time, we didn't do this or that, and we feel like we don't measure up to what God wants us to do, and then we feel condemned. You know, we feel like, I'm just not good enough. And we have this idea that maybe he is not happy with us, and he won't be near us, and he's maybe rejected us or whatever. And I think Jesus wants to set us free from that too, so that we can, because it's not based on what we have done. So anyway, let's meditate on that. Pastor Andrew is going to come and lead us in a song. Thank you, God, for this short story of this man who, Jesus, you went out of your way to set him free, but not just from a physical disability, but you are healing him from the spiritual burden, the spiritual oppression of condemnation and guilt, and maybe the lie, the wrong theology that because of our sin, you have rejected us. And some of us also live in that, even though we have believed, put our faith in you, we believe in the condemnation and the message or the feeling that we don't measure up. But I thank you that, you know, you have set us free. That it's not by our works that we have fellowship with the Father, but that you are just happy with us, God. You're happy with us because you see us through Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so Yeah, your desire is to, I mean, obviously your desire is to, for us to stop sinning, but it is not because you're angry, but because you love us, God, because you you want us to be set free. And yeah, and I also thank you, help us to just remember how you sought us out and you set us free from the things that used to bind us, from the things that used to oppress us. And help us to, just as this man worshipped you when you revealed yourself to him, help us to worship you this morning in thankfulness and gratitude, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for seeking us out and setting us free from spiritual bondage and helping us to walk in freedom, God. Thank you. Help us to worship you just as this man did, just as the man in Mark 5. He came to you, wanted to follow you, And this man, he came and he worshipped you. I pray that we will be able to do the same, to follow you and to obey you and to worship you as a response to what you have done. And today, if there's any of us walking around in condemnation, I just declare that therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Help us to stop believing the lie that we don't measure up, that you are unhappy or disappointed. But God, we will never be able to earn your pleasure. We'll never be able to please you by our own righteousness. It is completely by what Jesus has done. And so help us, God, whether we think we are righteous or sinful, to not count on that, but to count on what Jesus has done this morning, and to walk in freedom and in light. God, thank you. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our congregation. Let's pray for those in our community that are going through cancer or chemotherapy. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for God's strength to come over them. Let's pray. Let's go to the second slide. Pray for those that are in need of physical healing, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for God's love, God's mercy to be revealed to the people on this list. Let's pray. Let's pray for others that are going through various infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing to come upon them. Let's go to the fourth slide. Pray for those that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's grace, God's provision for them. Let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. If you can pray for Sports Services International, they're running their Hot Hoops camp this week. They started yesterday. It's a basketball camp. They invite a lot of teenagers. I think this year they have over 100 teenagers that are coming, learning basketball, but also they share the gospel through this ministry. So let's pray for that. Well, let's pray for the rest of things on the list too. Pray for the government. Pray regarding the wealth gap in our city. Pray for our churches. Pray for revival. So let's pray for all the things that are on the list. Let's pray for the staff. Praise God, everyone is back safely. It's just Pastor Sam and his family now, so pray for him to have a great and restful trip. If you can please pray for some of our staff members, like Pastor Mary and Janella. They've been sick for a few days. So just please pray for healing for them. And yeah, let's pray for the staff just to be united, to be anointed, and to really work hard for the church and for God's kingdom. So let's pray together. Let's pray for the worship, the sound, and the AV team. Pray for a heart of worship, heart of excellence. Pray for attention to detail. Pray for the equipment, that it will not act up in a way that we can't figure out. Pray for wisdom for Pastor Kenny and myself with some of the equipment stuff. And let's just pray for this ministry, that it'll be a blessing to the Father, that we'll be able to minister to Him, and then it'll be a blessing to the congregation, that it'll help people really connect with the presence of God. So let's pray. Let's pray for the hospitality ministry, welcoming team, barista team. Pray for more volunteers. Pray for a really effective ministry, that through their smile, through their small talk, and just service to the congregation, that many people, especially new people, that feel, people that are kind of outside on the on the outskirts, you know, not really plugged in, that they would feel so welcomed and so loved through this ministry. So let's pray for this ministry. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. We love you and we are grateful, Jesus, for what you have done, God. This is what you do, Lord. You seek out people, you set people free. You've done that with us, God. So help us to walk in gratitude, help us to walk in worship, and help us to walk in freedom, God, especially from condemnation from the enemy, God. Help us to walk in freedom from that, Lord. That you are pleased with us this morning. You're pleased with us this morning. Yeah, that we won't rely on our own righteousness or our own lack of righteousness, but that we would rely on you this morning. Thank you, God, for that. I bless everyone here. I bless their spirit to connect to Holy Spirit and to lead their body and soul. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.